Welcome to It Takes Energy, presented by Energy Transfer, where we talk all things oil and natural gas. Oil and gas drive our economy, ensure our country's security, and open pathways to brighter futures. Every day, more oil and natural gas than you can imagine moves across the U.S. through 2.5 million miles of underground pipelines, hundreds of rail cars, and countless tanker trucks to meet the needs of our country. But did you know that pipelines are 40 times safer than rail and truck, according to government statistics? Companies like ours use state-of-the-art satellites and sophisticated control centers to monitor pipelines 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're dedicated to getting you the energy you need safely and reliably. Look around, and you'll see the essential role oil and gas plays in our modern lives. Our world needs oil and gas, and people rely on us to deliver it. To learn more, visit ittakesenergy.com.
I was just crazy about my dad's parents. They were the best. I called them Oma and Opa. My Oma was just wonderful. She could tell these long-winded stories just by memory.
This Mother's Day, give the gift of story. Story is the easiest way for your loved ones to record stories about their life. It's all over phone calls, so you don't need internet. Just talk. Use Story's questions or create your own. Visit story.com to order your loved ones the gift of a lifetime. That's story with two eyes, .com.
Tonight is our night. For some of us, we've been here for months and even years. All the hard work, all the changes, it's been worth it. It's an extraordinary piece, and I could not be prouder. And if anyone's feeling nervous, don't worry about it, because I'm feeling sick. So I'll take it all on for you, and you just have a fantastic night.
The moment before the curtain goes up is the most exciting moment one could ever have in your life. It's so precarious. It's so dangerous. It's so terrifying.
Disagree. Greetings, stranger friends. I told you I'd be back. I told you. I'm back talking about a play. You know, when I started this podcast, I thought, well, I'll talk about every episode of this series. And then when we saw we were going to have long delays in between shows, I thought, well, I guess I'll read some of the comic books and some of the novels and all of the comic books and all of the novels. And I know there are comics out there that I have not read yet. And I know that there are ones that are coming out that, I mean, we have so much to talk about with Stranger Things that it's not just the show. But did I ever think that I would be talking about the play? Yes. To a degree, I thought at some point I would talk about it. Now, my hope is that someday we get a touring version of Stranger Things, The First Shadow. But I'm, after seeing this today, I am not as sure that we will. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. But my hope is that someday we get it where it comes to Boston. Maybe, you know, and maybe it's the same cast, maybe it isn't. I don't know. But usually when things come to Boston, you get the Broadway, you get the... Now, I think as far as I can tell, the London cast and the Broadway cast, I am assuming are the same. I don't know. And I don't know what you'd get. But a lot of times when Boston gets a play, it's not the Broadway cast, it's the touring cast, which, again, is fine. But it wouldn't be these people that we saw here today. I would like that. I would still like that. I would love to go see that and talk about it. Content, you know, content's king, baby. I would also love, and I was hoping, and I've talked about this in the past, that they filmed this play for a Netflix release, much like they did, you know, Disney Plus did for Hamilton. I'm not sure we're going to get that. So I thought, well, if I don't get to talk about the play, maybe I could talk about the play being on Netflix. Well, one thing I didn't think I would talk about was the making behind the scenes of the play, of the show on Netflix. I mean, we go from a show to books, to comics, to a musical, not a musical, to a play, and then to a behind the scenes of the play. And that is what premiered today on Netflix, Behind the Curtain, Stranger Things, The First Shadow. I was like, oh, I'll put on a little documentary. Then I said, oh my goodness, it's almost an hour and a half long. This is almost a feature length film. This is almost half a Stranger Things episode. But okay, I got up so early this morning. My dog woke me up, I want to say it, 5 something, and maybe about 5:30, 5:45. I said, I'm up, pour me a cup of coffee, and let's start watching this special. Because I wanted to talk about it with you guys here tonight. And part of me was like, oh, I might be able to record early in the morning too. But then I thought, you know what, Michael, this is what I said to myself. Michael, you don't want to rush it. There were certain things I wanted to look up, wanted to talk about, and I didn't want to have to feel the rush of having to get this done before my work day. So here I am, Tuesday night, April 15th, 2025, talking about the behind the curtain, Stranger Things, The First Shadow on its premiere day. See what I did there? Now, hopefully someday we'll get a premiere day for Stranger Things 5. And I've said this in the past, I am watching the first episode, I am doing the first episode for Stranger Danger, and then I'm going to go and watch the rest of the series. I won't make myself, completely watching each episode and then doing a podcast about it, because that will hurt my brain, and it will make me stress that I'm going to get spoiled, and I do not want to get spoiled. There's nothing new yet. There's still no announcement. I thought maybe they'd sneak one in with this. Nope. I saw one article on Yahoo, but it was from something called Decider. I don't know how Yahoo News even works. They were talking about the special that we're talking about here today, but they said there was a rumor that the episodes might come out of Thanksgiving. That would be spectacular, because I have days off built in around Thanksgiving. I think I have Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday off from work. How excellent would that be to snuggle up with some eggnog and some leftovers, make a big old turkey sandwich, and watching some Stranger Things? That would be magical. And it would give me time to devote quality time to you, the Stranger Friends. I haven't been the best Stranger Friend over the past, many months, but I hope to be better, and I want to be better. So the only way to do that is to be better and to keep putting out shows for you guys, because I see that they're being listened to, I see that they're being found, and I appreciate it. Oh, do I appreciate it so much. So let's not waste any more time, except let's talk about plays. You know, I enjoy a good play. I'm not going to lie. I love a good musical. If this was a full-fledged musical, I'd be like, yes, let's do this. I just saw my niece do Chicago Teen Edition for her high school. Last year she did Elf. I've seen her do Shrek Junior. And then myself, let's see, and it seems like somehow I just see these jukebox musicals, which are musicals based on musicians using the musician's music. So, or inspired by the musicians, and they all involve my mother-in-law, it seems like, because we took her to see the Neil Diamond musical. Excellent. Then we took her, or she took us, I don't remember, to the Jimmy Buffett musical. I think maybe she took us. Yes, to the Jimmy Buffett musical. Excellent. And then we took her. No, she took us to the Carole King musical at a dinner theater in Florida. Guess what? It was excellent. And then we took her to see Mamma Mia last year for her 80th birthday. Guess what? Excellent. So I am a sucker for musical theater. I've seen Lion King and I've seen Miss Saigon. I never saw Phantom of the Opera. I never saw Les Mis. Oh, and as a kid, I saw Cats, and oh boy, did I love it. The Rum Tum Tugger is a curious cat. But my all-time favorite, and it's really from the movie more than anything, is Little Shop of Horrors. That is just utter perfection. I have the musical, the movie soundtrack in my music library that I can just listen to. I can crank in the car. You go downtown. It is the best. Long way of saying that I love, I'm a fan of theater. I wish I saw more theater, and I hope to someday see this, and I hope to someday see the Back to the Future musical. Those are the big ones. I got to see these. But in the meantime, I'm not talking about a book. I'm not talking about a comic. I'm not talking about a TV episode. I am talking about Stranger Things, The First Shadow, and the behind the scenes showing what it took for the producers, the directors, and the actors to get this on the stage in London's West End.
Welcome to It Takes Energy, presented by Energy Transfer, where we talk all things oil and natural gas. Oil and gas drive our economy, ensure our country's security, and open pathways to brighter futures. Every day, more oil and natural gas than you can imagine moves across the U.S. through 2.5 million miles of underground pipelines, hundreds of rail cars, and countless tanker trucks to meet the needs of our country. But did you know that pipelines are 40 times safer than rail and truck, according to government statistics? Companies like ours use state-of-the-art satellites and sophisticated control centers to monitor pipelines 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're dedicated to getting you the energy you need safely and reliably. Look around, and you'll see the essential role oil and gas plays in our modern lives. Our world needs oil and gas, and people rely on us to deliver it. To learn more, visit ittakesenergy.com.
So Stranger Things, The First Shadow is a play. We've talked about that. This is actually from a paragraph from the Wikipedia page. It's a play written by Kate Treffry. It's that second R that throws me off. Treffry. From the original story from the Duffer Brothers, Jack Thorne and Treffry. Jack Thorne, I looked him up. And he is a British playwright, television writer, screenwriter, and producer. He is best known for writing the stage play Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. The films Wonder and Enola Holmes? Interesting. And if I type in Stranger... Oh, see, he worked on this. So not the show, but he did work, obviously, on the play. Or at least the story idea for the play. It was written by Kate Treffry, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And of course, she is known for being a story editor, story staff writer, and head writer of episodes for Stranger Things. She's worked on 18 episodes, starting in season 2, and she was a staff writer for the entire season, and she wrote episode 6 of that season, which is The Spy. In season 3, she was a story editor for every episode, and she wrote episode 4, The Sauna Test. And in Stranger Things 4, she just has one credit, which is written by The Nina Project, which, again, I feel like working on one episode in Stranger Things 4 is like working on a feature film. She also wrote two shorts that called Souls of Totality in 2018 and How to Be Alone in 2019. And in 2021, she wrote one of the Fear Street movies, Fear Street Part 3, 1666, which I've never seen. Oh, she's one of the writers on that, looks like. There are three writers written by. I never understand how. It's an R.L. Stein book. I haven't seen these movies, and I feel like they're right up my alley, and I should watch them. But that is, I mean, now I know her from being the writer of the play. And to me, that is like such an accomplishment. Coming from TV, I think she was saying that she didn't have any experience in theater. So, I mean, writing a play for, like writing a script for a play, it's got to be daunting when you come from, you know, feature and television writing, which is, I'm assuming, very different. I don't know how play scripts look per se, but they obviously include stage direction, where, you know, film, I guess it does include some direction with what people are doing, but I'm sure it's much more specific with a play. It has to be, especially a play like this. This thing is insane. So besides the writer, there were a few like people that stood out, as you could see, were kind of the leaders of the production. And one of them is Sonia Friedman. Sonia Friedman is a British West End and Broadway theater producer. She's been named Producer of the Year for the Stage Awards. She was Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People of 2018. It was named for Broadway's Briefing Show Person of the Year. Wow. Or she was featured. She was featured in the Time 100 Times 100 Most. If she was featured in that, she must be one of them. So she's been doing theater work forever. And you saw the posters of the things she's worked on. I'm just looking at a list here. Book of Mormon, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, not the First Child, Chimerica, Ghosts, Merrily We Go Along, and of course, Stranger Things, The First Shadow. She's worked on Wolf Hall. I think my parents watched that show, a TV show. So she's done television and film production as well. Very accomplished. Oh, her theater credits go all the way back to 1990. I'm just looking for ones that stand out. I don't see Willy Wonka. I don't see Elf. I don't see Legally Blonde. I don't know any of these. I see Hitchcock Blonde, Jumpers. I don't know what that is. As You Like It, I've heard of that. Isn't that like Shakespeare? Isn't that why? I'll tell you, if I ever were on Jeopardy, I pray that they don't have a Shakespeare category, because I would just put down the buzzer and just walk off. I'd be like, I'm just going to leave now. Thank you guys. Thanks for having me. La Cage aux Folles. Oh, there's some big name shows. And I mean, the list goes on and on. Oh my God. It is incredible the things that she's worked on. Mean Girls, I've heard of that. I've never actually seen the movie. Don't tell anybody. And the director of the play is Stephen Daldry. There's actually a director and a co-director. The co-director is Justin Martin. He's an American DJ and record producer. Really? Wait a minute. This can't be the same guy I'm looking at here. Stranger. Nope, this is a different guy. The Wikipedia page links to something, to some other, the wrong, okay, Justin Martin, London, British stage director. There he is. But Justin Martin, director, is an English director of television and theater. He is known for his collaboration with director Stephen Daldry, not Roger Daltrey. So what has he worked on? Television, anything I've heard of? The Crown. I guess that's supposed to be pretty popular. He was a second unit director there. Theater, Billy Elliot. Oh, my God, Billy Elliot. Football? Kids do boxing. No, ballet, football, boxing, wrestling. Not bloody ballet. The Jungle? I think I've heard of that. Stranger Things, The First Shadow. And he is the director of the version in the marquee, the Broadway theater as well. Good. Or at least that's according to this Wikipedia page. I assume it's correct because Wikipedia is never wrong. But the main director is Stephen Daldry. We heard his voice a little bit at the beginning of this. He is an English director, producer of film, theater, and television. He's won 3 Tony Awards for his work on Broadway and an Olivier Award for his work in the West End. Oh, he has received 3 Academy Award nominations for Best Director. Really? He directed the film Billy Elliot? Okay. All right. This guy, I'm all in on this guy. I didn't realize that. I had that soundtrack too, Billy Elliot. Oh my goodness. So good. Awesome. See, I never know these things. It's like, oh, I can do these giant Broadway plays and I can do a small movie about a guy in Northern England dancing, you know, during the miners' strike in the 80s. Oh my God. So let's see. He directed Billy Elliot, The Hours. I've heard of that. The Reader. I have not heard of that. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Yes, I've heard of that too. Oh my goodness. Trash. No, I don't know what that is. And Together. I don't know what that is. Television. He was a consulting producer on Obi-Wan Kenobi. Oh my God, this guy's getting better and better. He's worked on the Olympics. He's worked on The Crown. And of course, the things he worked on in Billy Elliot, the musical too. See, that's cool to see that the guy who directed the Billy Elliot movie also worked on the Billy Elliot musical as well. Very cool. Very cool. And of course, we talked about the writer. We talked about the producer. Now I went through the cast and I just went through I went through IMDb. And just to see what else these guys have done. So there's the older actor who plays older Hopper. And I wonder how that works. Oh, unless he plays Hopper's dad. Because I don't think they come to the future. Not the future, but you know what I mean. I don't think they play in the 80s. I think everything is in the past. His name is Shane Atwell. He hasn't done anything that I know of, except he played Dangerous Drunk in Wonder Woman 1984. Then there's this, who I thought was one of the highlights of this cast and the special, Christopher Buckley. He played young Bob Newby, and he seemed like he was going to be a breakout star in this, from this play, and quite possibly, you know, I could see him in movies and TV shows easily. He played... You know, they don't have him listed here as who he played because in the documentary, he plays himself. But he is young Bob Newby. Then we have Lewis McCartney, you know, like Paul. Lewis McCartney, who is an actor. He has been in things. He got his first break when he was burnt alive by a dragon in Game of Thrones, a credited role. Wait, what? In 2019 in Game of Thrones, he was boined by a dragon. That's wild. He's also been in a show called Hope Street for 28 episodes. And he is the, as I say that kid's, I just said Bob Newby, that actor is going to break out. This is another one he's the star of the play. This is Henry Creel, who is the main cast. And they did a great job of casting this guy because he kind of looks like, when I first saw this, I thought, oh, they got the same kid from Stranger Things. He's a little older. this is perfect. That's how much that I thought they looked alike. And then they cast Isabella Pappas, an Olivia Award-winning nominated actress based in London. See, I wasn't sure who, if she was American. I can never tell who. I forget, like, was she British or American? I don't know. She stars as Joyce Maldonado, not Joyce Byers, Joyce Maldonado. Because obviously she wasn't married to Byers, Mr. Byers, that jerk. But she plays Joyce. And there was a really nice scene where she gets flowers from Winona Ryder, and she gets really emotional from that. I thought that was very sweet. Then the other actor I want to talk about, Patrick Vale. He's been in anything I know. No. The answer is no. But he plays young Dr. Brenner. And there's a cool scene where he's in the play, and then he gets to meet Matthew Modine. They had some cool things where they had the actors meeting the younger versions of themselves. So they had Patrick Vale they had the actors in the play meeting the actual older versions of themselves, the characters they're playing in the show. You get what I mean. Patrick Vale got to meet Matthew Modine, and he's got longer hair, this guy. And he's like, "You're wearing a wig. Oh my goodness." He's like, "Oh yeah, haha." And that was funny when they got to meet. And it was also really cool. David Harbour was able to go to the play, and he got to meet the young version of him, played by a guy named Oscar Lloyd, and he gave him an original hat, the original hat from season one, the only one that exists, the actual Hopper hat. He gave that to him, and that you could see the guy was really touched by that. This Oscar Lloyd, he's from England, and I'm looking, he was in an episode of two episodes of Doctor Who. Looks like a lot of TV stuff that I don't know, except for Doctor Who. And then the last person I want to mention is an American, Ella Karuna Williams, who's been in The Equalizer. She played girl number one. Did you hear my Boston accent come out there? I didn't say Equalizer. I said Equalizer. And of course she plays, is she playing Bob Newby's sister in this? I wonder if I think that's it. And she plays a major character. I feel like she plays almost the love interest of Henry Creel. So she has, I've thought she'd be like one of the, next to him, she's like the second in, you know, build, maybe. I'm not sure exactly. But one thing I am wrong about is the cast. I kept scrolling on the Wikipedia page, and the Broadway cast is completely different. Almost. On August 6th, it was announced, August 6th, 2024, it was announced that the show would transfer to Broadway in the spring of 2025. Previews began at the Marquee Theater on March 28th, and the play's official opening date is scheduled for April 22nd, 2025. So it hasn't even premiered yet. Not for another week. A week from today, it premieres. And it looks like the entire cast is different, except for Lewis McCartney, who is reprising the role of Henry Creel for Broadway. I feel like that is going to propel him even more. Now that I see that Bob Newby's a different guy, because I hate to say it, but the Broadway, I think, is a bigger deal. But I don't know. Maybe that's my American bias. Is West End humongous in London? If you're British and you're out there, is it just as big as the world of Broadway in the United States? I don't know. I know London theater, I think of it as a big deal, but is it as kind of like the epitome of stage acting in London, in England, in Europe? I don't even know. So I have a list now of all the different actors, but I think him maybe coming over to Broadway might propel him to get more roles in on the Hollywood side of things. So let me see if anything stands out here. So in James Hopper is Oscar Lloyd in West End. It's Burke Swanson in Broadway. That's James Hopper Jr. Joyce Maldonado, I said Isabella Pappas, is someone, Allison Jay. Bob Newby was Chris Buckley. We talked about that. Juan Carlos playing Bob Newby in Broadway. On Henry Creel, we talked about that. It's the same. Dr. Brenner is now being played by Alex Brio. It was Patrick Vale. Alan Munson was played by Max Harwood, is now played by Eric Wiegand. Oh, and Patty Newby. Yeah, so it's Bob Newby. That was Ella Karuna Williams, was played by her. It's a different actress for the USC. I thought, oh, she's American. She's going to come over. But it's someone named Gabrielle Navia Green. Now, I'm not going to go through everybody's IMDb who wasn't featured in this special. I really just wanted to highlight the main cast that we kind of followed along. But Victor Creel was Michael Gibson in England. T.R. Knight. Now, that name sounds familiar. T.R. Knight he was on Grey's Anatomy for years, and he was also on Grey's Anatomy, and he was in, let's see, what is it? Was it Grey's Anatomy for a long time? What else was he in? The Flight Attendant? I've seen this guy. I know him mostly for being on that show. What is it called? Grey's Anatomy. Cool. He's going to be Victor Creel. He's the dad. Oh, boy. Anyone else here? I'm not going to go through the rest of this cast. Wait a minute. Now, that Chief Hopper is played by someone named Ted Koch or Cox, K-O-C-H. That name sounds really familiar. But it isn't. I don't know who this guy is at all. I was really, really planning on knowing who this guy is. And I have absolutely no, he's been in stuff. He's been in lots of stuff, an episode here, an episode there. Nope. I was absolutely ready to be like, I know that guy. And I don't. So that's the cast. That's the producer, the writer, the director, and the cast of Stranger Things, The First Shadow. By the way, that music in the background is a instrumental version of Sweet Dreams from the Eurythmics by Sebastian Bohm. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And it was featured in this special. It was in fact, the director of the play started singing that a little bit, and then it turned into the version of the song you hear here today. So I wrote some real notes, or I guess all notes that are written are real notes. I wrote some notes down, and they're not the most well thought out. I'm reading them going, what? I can't spell for nothing, and I don't have proper English grammar. But here's the main gist of it. I think I underestimated how much goes into a show, and how stressful it must be to put something like this together. It's like they do all this rehearsal. Then they have to rehearse, and they do a rehearsal in front of the Duffers, which seemed like it was stressful. Then it just seemed like it was very interesting to see how much work gets done just to get something onto the stage. And I mean, anything onto the stage, never mind something with so many visual effects at such a high level. And that is the reason that concerns me about there being a touring version of this show. I feel like it might be too involved, too technical, and quite frankly too expensive to have a touring version of the show. But you never know. I don't know. Maybe maybe it seemed expensive to figure everything out, but once they figure it out, it's like, okay, now we have it, boom, just repeat it 8 times a week. Can you imagine doing the show twice in one day? It must be exhausting. And at the same time, I always think you go see a show and you're like, they did it. Wow, this was amazing. And I'm like, well, they did this yesterday, they did this tomorrow. That's the thing that's incredible, that you go to a show and you feel like, wow, they really did something special for me tonight. And maybe it was something special, but guess what? They're going to do something special for the next crowd tomorrow, because it's like, that's what makes theater acting so impressive. And when you see a finished product on the screen, you realize they could shoot 5 hours, 10 hours, 20 hours of something, And they're like, all right, let's cut it down to 2 hours. Let's make it work. Let's edit this. Let's do that. Let's come in, fix this audio, do this, do that, do a digital effect over here, over that. But when it's on the stage, it's like, here it is. Hope it goes right. And they here it is 8 times in a week. And you think this is like the finished product. How do you know? Like, you know, in films, I guess they do have test audiences and people will write notes, but it's like, I don't think I realize how many previews and how much a preview means. It's not like they're taking, I don't think they did surveys, but it's like, they're watching this and they're seeing it and they're listening to the audience. And it's like, I know the producer talked about hearing a cough. When you hear the cough, it's like the death knell, because it means that they're not really paying attention. They're not worried about it. They're not as invested. But they did, what was it, like 20 something previews? And I just completely underestimated the amount of stress just to figure it. Well, wait, this didn't work. Well, you have to cut this. 10 seconds here. Add this. This isn't working. The spiders aren't working. This, that. It was, oh, there's the Creel mother. They must recreate when Henry Creel, you know, kills his mother. The body snapping. Oh, it's turning on too quickly. Like the mannequin that they have, they did it. Like, it was incredible. The fact that everything they had to do and had to figure out, including like making a ship like disappear or show up. And I had no idea that like they were going to work the Philadelphia experiment into Stranger Things lore. So what is the Philadelphia experiment? Well, here's the funny thing. I have this, so I'm looking at something called Naval History and Heritage Command. And right away, I'm just so effing pissed and annoyed. It says content on this website has been revised or removed to align with the president's executive order and DOD priorities in accordance with DOD. F. I don't want to get political, but Jesus Christmas. So stupid. So anyway, I didn't expect to have to read that annoying thing at the top of this page, but it says on this Naval History website, the Philadelphia experiment. Allegedly, in the fall of 1943, a U.S. Navy destroyer was made invisible and teleported from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania to Norfolk, Virginia in an incident known as the Philadelphia experiment. Records in the archives, branches of the Naval History and Heritage Command have been repeatedly searched, but no documents have been located which confirm the event or any interest by the Navy in attempting such an achievement. Now, why would the Philadelphia experiment be something? I'm trying to figure out what the importance is. This says in 1943, so it's before even like Dr. Brenner. He would be too young for this. So my thinking, my guess is that the doctors or the scientists who worked on this, they're going to say the Philadelphia experiment happened. And the scientist who worked on it also ended up working in the Hawkins Laboratory. That must be it. Because that's what they did with that MKUltra. And they turned that into, was that just in the book? No. MKUltra was with Jane's mother, Eleven's mother. And that was like a real thing. And they brought that in. So it kind of makes sense bringing in the Philadelphia experiment tool too. So that was pretty cool learning that and seeing that. And you're saying, well, Mike, what does this have to do with the movie, the TV show? This is just a play. It's completely separate. It doesn't count, but it kind of does. This is canon. And there was nothing more that stood out more to me than this story matters than one moment where they realized they had to change something, and something got bleeped out because of what was said between the writers and the director of the play.
Now, why are we seeing a Demogorgon?
Okay, can I just stop you right now?
Yes.
I just got off the phone with the guys, and
this all changed.
No, it's just gonna be whatever we want it to be. It's gonna be like 80% less. We're gonna be able to do like 80% less. We're going to be able to tell very little of the story of We're going to be able to say that something happened. But we're really not going to be able to say that much.
Because?
Because they want to preserve the reveal for season 5.
The reveal of...
Yeah.
I think that right there is going to be the biggest takeaway from this entire special. That there is some moment where they're like, why are we seeing a Demogorgon? Now, I don't know, that might be a different conversation. And then Kate, the writer, breaks in and says, I got to tell you something. This thing we want to do, we have to cut it back about 80%. Now, at first when she said that, I thought, wait, the whole play? Like, what is going on here? But there's something specific that happens in the first shadow that they have to cut back because it reveals something that they want to save, and they bleeped out a character's name, something that they want to save for Stranger Things 5. Now, I would love it if someday when Stranger Things 5 comes out, we get the reveal of what was supposed to be and what are they talking about? Who are they talking about in this? And I'm sure there's all kinds of speculation already out there on the interweb. I'm not going to speculate because I like to think that it's a reveal to a character we haven't seen yet. And speaking of a reveal, while I was getting that audio, I realized I had the tab on IMDb open for the producer who I talked about already, Senior Friedman, big Broadway producer, big London producer, big TV and film producer. Well, if you go to her TV shows, I mentioned Wolf Hall, not Wolf Hard, Wolf Hall. And she did something called a TV movie called King Lear, Uncle Vanya. I've heard of these things. But if you go to her IMDb at the top, you know they say known for? It says producer, Together, a movie. Producer, King Lear, TV movie. Producer, Uncle Vanya. Movie. Then it says one episode, producer, TV series, untitled Stranger Things spinoff series. Now, there's nothing I can find other than that because everything else is hidden behind a paywall called IMDb Pro, and I am not a DB Pro, so I'm not going to be on IMDb Pro. But that was she's now producing the TV show? So she's well into the world of Stranger Things, and it's an untitled spinoff series. Now, we know we're getting more Stranger Things after Stranger Things Prime, shuts off the Upside Down for the last time. But this was the first time I saw a specific thing listed on IMDb. Again, I don't know if someone just logged in and put this in there. I do not know, but that was kind of cool. I didn't think I was going to stumble on anything like that today, and I don't know. Is it on her Wikipedia page? Oh, if you go down to the reference articles, you go all the way down to number 13. Stranger Things spinoff to include play made by British theater duo. Nope, that doesn't count. That's talking about the play. So not the spinoff of the TV show. Now, did someone accidentally put this on IMDb because she worked on the play? I don't know. But I think I might have found something kind of cool because I'd never heard of Sonya Friedman before today. And now it appears that she's a producer for a Stranger Things spinoff. Perhaps, maybe, I don't know. So I can't think of much else that I want to talk about. Again, I watched it so early this morning. I think I loved the kinetic energy of these young actors, you go off stage and they're running through hallways and they're running to get here, running to get there. And you realize how much work goes into a play. Again, I saw Chicago Teen Edition for my niece's high school. And when the play ended, the people come up on stage to give a bow, and they always bring the crew up. And they brought a row of crew up, and they brought another row up. And they brought another row. I'm like, wow, so many kids worked on this. And I realized some of the stage in the setting was really impressive. So there was a lot of kids working on that. And I guess I am comparing it. So I can only imagine the amount of work that goes into almost a movie you're seeing on screen. Like the amount of, you know, I remember years ago, they're like, the chandelier falls in Phantom of the Opera, or the helicopters on stage on Miss Saigon. It's like, well, they're going to make a ship disappear. They're going to make monsters come. They're going to make a Mama Creel break in front of the crowd. I mean, we're going to have Demogorgons on stage. It looked ridiculous. It looked just so impressive. And I hope I get to see it someday. Now, have any of you seen it in London? London, England? Or are any of you going to see it on Broadway? I would love to hear from you, the Stranger Friends. You can reach out to me anytime. StrangerDangerPodcast.com is the website. StrangerDanger@fansnotexperts.com is the email. StrangerDangerPodcast.com/voicemail, I think. But if you just go to the website, you'll see the voicemail link. You can leave a voicemail. Stranger Danger Podcast on Blue Sky. That's where I do most of my social media stuff now. Blue Sky. I like it better. It reminds me of Twitter, back when I liked Twitter a lot more. And on TikTok at Geek Mentality Mike. Everywhere else is Geek Mentality. You can find me there. But of course, Stranger Danger has its own Blue Sky at StrangerDangerPodcast.com. So I am glad I watched that this morning. Didn't wait. I'm glad I talked about it. I don't know if I gave anything of all that much interest, but sometimes I just see something, Stranger Things, and I got to talk about it. I wrote down some notes and I was like, I just got to talk about this. I got to say how impressive everything seems. And I hope to someday see it. But you know what I hope for more? Stranger Things 5. Oh, I would love to hear an announcement. Maybe, like, didn't they do it on 4th of July, like, a million years ago? It seems like I was going to say last time, but my God, it's been 3 years since the last season. Yes, lots of stuff got in the way. I understand that. But, that's a yawn. It wasn't me, breaking down, but I could use that to pretend to start getting really emotional. Okay, I can do this. We can do this, friends. We can do this. Because even though we don't know Stranger Things 5 yet, we still have Stranger Things Forever. Got to get back in the swing of things with that. I just did a new episode last week, so got to keep the momentum going. Stranger Things, Stranger Danger Book Club, got to get the momentum going. Of course, I say that. Hopefully, we'll have one more episode before it's something next week. One more episode next week, at least. Because a week from tonight, when Stranger Things, the first Shadow, is premiering on Broadway, I'm flying down to Florida. I've talked about this before. And driving my mother-in-law back to Massachusetts. So I don't think there'll be any podcasting happening live during that week. But hopefully I can have some things ready for you so you can listen to my voice this week. Because if you heard my voice while I'm driving with my mother-in-law from Florida, you just hear this. Just kidding. I'm mostly just kidding. Don't tell her I said that. So until you hear from me again, please follow, listen, subscribe, like, all that stuff. I do appreciate those of you who do. Tell your friends, tell 14 friends and 3 enemies all about Stranger Danger. So that's it. I think I am done. So thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Stay stranger, my friends. And as they say in Broadway, break a leg, but don't break your entire body like Virginia Creel.
Fans Not Experts.
Welcome to It Takes Energy, presented by Energy Transfer, where we talk all things oil and natural gas. Oil and gas drive our economy, ensure our country's security, and open pathways to brighter futures. Did you know the first oil well was drilled almost 1,700 years ago? The first American well was drilled in Pennsylvania in 1859, and the Texas oil boom began in 1901. When the Lucas Gusher produced an astonishing geyser that flowed for 9 days, this oil boom helped launch the widespread use of the automobile and grease the wheels of the modern machine age. Today, the U.S. is the world's top producer of oil and gas, supporting 11 million jobs and contributing $2 trillion to the American economy. Look around, and you'll see the essential role oil and gas plays in our modern lives. Our world needs oil and gas, and people rely on us to deliver it. To learn more, visit ittakesenergy.com.
I was just crazy about my dad's parents. They were the best. I called them Oma and Opa. My Oma was just wonderful. She could tell these long-winded stories just by memory.
This Mother's Day, give the gift of story. Story is the easiest way for your loved ones to record stories about their life. It's all over phone calls, so you don't need internet. Just talk. Use Story's questions or create your own. Visit story.com to order your loved ones the gift of a lifetime. That's story with two eyes.com.